Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. This is Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And it's Monday, must be Mark Hart Day. Mark, of course, Vice President of Life Teen, author of numerous books, and the Bible Geek, right here on our very program. And Mark, good morning and welcome.
Thanks for having me back, you two.
You betcha.
Jason Everett had almost kind of nice things to say about you.
Well, good.
He said, don't believe...
I've been real tired.
Yeah, he said, don't believe anything he says about me. But and we said it was all nice, Jason. And he said, don't believe anything he says about me.
Jason's wise beyond his years.
How does one get wise behind his ears?
Well, you know.
Oh, okay.
If there's a way to make it happen, Mark Hart will find it.
Wow.
There you go.
I'm edified.
Well, there we go.
There's a big word. There's a Monday morning word, edified.
Edified. All right. We'll put that in the big word cup.
Put that in the queue. Okay.
Well, we love having you here, Mark, because it really has become an important segment on the show. So many people tell us. I mean, we just were at a big dinner where everybody came up, and they didn't really, they go, and you are, do you work with Mark Hart? And we went, yeah, that, yeah.
Wow, this, I'm not really sure what reality you're running around in. That's a pretty small circle.
Well, let's expand the target a little bit here. We've got a couple of questions that we'd like to lob your way if you're up for it.
I can't wait.
All right. This one is a big one. A lot of parents out there with teens want to know, how do I keep my teen Catholic?
Bribery.
Yes.
Bribery is the simplest, most cost-efficient, time-efficient way.
Works for us.
Absolutely. Well, you know, isn't that the million-dollar question? I am now in, gosh, I'm in my 15th year of full-time, well, actually not full-time, my 15th year of youth ministry. I'm in my, my 13th year of full-time ministry. And I will say this, that I could point you to 1,000 resources. I could give you a list of do nots. I could give people a list of things to try. And all of them would serve a purpose. But when it really boils down to it, the hard truth that I think every parent has to come to is this. The identity of your Catholic child, the identity of your Catholic teen, your Christian teen, their Catholic identity is directly proportional to the parent's intimacy with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no way around it. And believe me, I've tried.
Yeah.
Personally, with my own, I fall on my knees every night, and I pray that the Lord would preserve my daughters from my sin, and from my short-sightedness, from my humanity. The reality is that most teens who do not have a Catholic identity are floundering, not because they are not in need of God as their Savior, not because they are not desiring truth in this culture of relativism, and not because they are unenlivened by the prospect of a Holy Spirit who just blows away their greatest aspirations and expectations of life. Most of them are floundering because they have not received the fullness of the deposit of faith with an authentic, urgent, passionate, reckless abandonment modeled in, and this is not to fault the parents by any means, modeled in maybe some of, you know, in their relatives, their catechists, their leaders, that kind of thing. But what it really boils down to is whether or not it's being modeled in anybody besides the parents are still the primary catechist.
Mm-hmm.
Our church has reaffirmed that over and over and over again, and the parents have to be a primary catechist.
I think you're absolutely right, Mark, and I think one of the problems that we face as parents, and I'm talking about people our age and of our generation, and as we have teenagers, is that we grew up at a time in the life of the church where the whole passing on the faith became kind of confused, Mark. I mean, it was right after Vatican II, our religious formation was not as strong. And so consequently, when we encounter with our kids, we're not exactly sure how to pass it on ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? You know what you just keyed into right there, Chris, is humility. Is that the beginning of great works is always going to have the seed of humility. And that it takes us, all of us that are adults, standing up and saying, I don't know it all. And not just saying, I don't have all the facts, or I forgot that since parochial school, to stand up and say, I don't know God as intimately as I want to know him. Mm-hmm. I don't pray as forcefully, as disciplined, as frequently as I need to. I do not, you know, I don't avail myself of spiritual readings and those kinds of things. Like, I need to. Like, I need to go deeper. And if we have that kind of humility, the humility is the beginning of great works. And it's not, I want to affirm every parent listening, it is not the fault. I'm not in any way, shape, or form. I would never, ever want to paint that picture like, oh, it's the fault of the parents. It's not. But you hit the nail on the head. Is that, you know, when Vatican II hit, and then as Vatican II has been unpacked for the last 34 years, it was a great gift to the church. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some gaps that need to be filled in. And in the very first encyclical that our Holy Father John Paul II gave us in Catechesi Tridente, he affirmed. He said that parents need to be the primary catechists. He affirms that there are a plurality of methods, he said, need to be used for contemporary catechesis. Catechesis being the handing on of the fullness of the deposit of faith. And he says a plurality of methods. It can't be just in a classroom model, you know, left to a volunteer catechist 1 hour a week.
Amen.
It can't be just in a parochial school setting, you know, left to well underpaid, you know, teachers, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
It has to be, you know, I mean, I don't want to quote, you know, Hillary Clinton here, but it has to be the whole village raising the child. You know, that the parents have to be the primary catechist. They have to take the primary role, and then they have to look around their life and find out what other things they can be doing environmentally to enliven their teens, that they can be doing spiritually to enliven their teens, they can be doing socially to engage them, emotionally to engage them. But when all is said and done, at the very end of the day, the greatest way to keep your kids Catholic is to give them a prayerful, humble, authentic example of matrimony, of personal faith, of discipline and prayer, that the greatest gift a parent can ever give their child is the model of prayer.
Right.
Because no matter what storms circle and no matter what happens to a teenager after they have left your house, when they're off at state college, when they're off in another state doing another job, when they're off living by themselves, when they're in a marriage, when they're having kids, any of those other things, no matter what storms befall them, if you give them the gift of prayer, and if they see that model in you, that they know that that's always there, that prayer is always an anchor, and God is always steadfast, and He's firm, and He's just absolutely dedicated to His promise. If they see that model in their parents, that is something they will always go to long after we are in the ground.
Right. And Mark, it's imperative, and I'll say this on behalf of the guys, that the men, the husbands and fathers in the family really step forward, because when they're actively participating in the faith, when they're actively participating in the lives of their children, and they're actively participating in the Mass, that means a lot more to your children when they watch their father exhibit those kinds of behaviors, doesn't it?
Bruce, thank you for saying that. And I will tell you this honestly. My father just turned 68 years old a couple weeks ago.
God love him.
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I respect him. I have such a tremendous amount of respect for him in his fatherhood, his work ethic, the sacrifices he made. But I will tell you this. I have grown in deeper respect for him in the last 5 or 6 years as he's really embraced his faith with more humility, and as he's really taken an active role in his faith, and in the way that he's encountering God now and asking questions and entering into discussions, and the way that he prays at Mass, I've grown tenfold in my respect for him in the last 5 years watching that than I did in all my years prior.
Right.
There's nothing more humbling, and I'm in my 30s, and I still feel this way, and teenagers even more so. There's something that God creates us with different roles, and the man has a different role in the family than the woman does, and both are equal, neither are more important. But if that father is fulfilling his vocation as a spiritual head and not forcing the mother to do both,
mm-hmm.
then the identity is going to be there, and the family is going to flourish. And it's not enough to say to the wives and to the moms, hey, you know what, like, we see them all the time at Mass, right, when mom goes and dad doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And, you know, we want to affirm that, because that's not easy. But I want to say to all the wives out there, you know, that it's not, you know, thank you for filling both, but it's not your job to fill both. Keep praying, keep inviting, keep trying, and we want to say, you know, to all the men, we want to affirm it that, you know, guys have to call guys out. Men have to call out men. And that a lot of men are not going to be called out by, you know, their wife who's already going to Mass. Is that we as men, as sons of God, need to hold each other accountable and call each other to get out of our laziness, to get out of ourselves, and to engage in the life that is Christ.
Absolutely. Well said, Mark. Thanks. And just one quick little footnote before we move on to the next dynamic of our talk here is the fact that our Holy Father, late Holy Father John Paul II, of course, really helped move the principles of Vatican II forward during his pontificate. And of course, out of that emerged the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So, you know, you want to make sure you've got your Bible and your catechism, and you've got the two best teaching tools you can have anywhere.
Absolutely. And now with the new compendium that came out,
yep.
It is so reader-friendly. I mean, I've been telling everybody, have a compendium on your coffee table, you know. I had a teen come up and say, hey, is it wrong if I keep a Bible and a compendium in the bathroom? And I said, hey, absolutely not. You know what? Wherever yep. you feel like you can be focused, you put one there because, you know.
Read. I agree.
Keep reading.
All right, Mark, of course, we're talking about our teens and trying to keep them Catholic, and let's talk about something that is really in your wheelhouse. Let's talk about Life Teen. Maybe give us a little information on how you became involved. You're now the vice president, and maybe how we might get things going in our parish if we're interested. Chris?
I just want to say, Mark, we have had so many listeners asking us that exact question.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. Put very simply, Life Teen, we're a movement of the Catholic Church. We are Eucharist-centered. We're 100% Catholic. We have a strong devotion to the Blessed Lady. Our Blessed Mother, we have, we are a movement of the Church that exists to help, that we are at the service of our bishops, the service of dioceses, at the service of pastors, and the service of parents, and our adult leaders we call core members, you know, volunteer catechists. We are here to help. We are here to help teens encounter Jesus. Basically, our slogan is leading teens closer to Christ, most specifically in the sacraments and in the Eucharist. So we have several different teams, as we call them, within Life Teen. We have our direct contact team, and we have a network. We have basically a parish programs, and this functions as high school religious education. We produce resources. We don't care if people call it Life Teen or if they don't. Basically, we produce leader manuals and resources, original videos. We produce texts called liturgy planning guides that help priests, liturgists, music ministers help them keep the sacredness and of the liturgy while helping the homilies, for instance, to be a little more impactful and more relevant to the 21st century generation of young teens and young adults, how to take the richness of the Church and just be able to sort of bend some of those truths so that a teenage year might be more inclined. Again, keeping reverent worship at Mass, but we have song suggestions, things like that help stay true to the old, but also show the teens an understanding of some of the new forms of contemporary worship. So we have liturgy planning guides. We have what we call Life Night planning guides, where we have session outlines, skits, teaching outlines. We have original videos, retreats. So we have a whole team. We have regional directors and area contacts all over the country. We have about 1,000, almost 1,100 programs now across the world,
wow.
20 different countries, about 900 in the U.S. and about 200 scattered in other countries. So that's one team. We have our web division. We have two fully functioning websites right now. We have lifeteen.com, which is a place for teens and adults. We also have camps.lifeteen.com, which outline our three summer camps.
Wow.
We have fully functioning summer camps in three states. We offer multiple weeks, both for week-long experiences for junior hires or for high schoolers. They're run by our staff and a fleet of very young, very excited college-age interns who help us pull those camps off. There's zip lines and there's challenge courses, and you know, it depending upon which camp you're at. I mean, like you might go whitewater rafting in the southeast, you might go learn archery and go to the Grand Canyon from the southwest. Just amazing experiences. We have liturgy every day. We start every day with rosaries. We have Bible studies, liturgies. We have impactful sessions, team building. So we run those all summer. And we also offer retreat settings, you know, in the camps and the non-camp, non-summer months.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our web division. We're actually about to launch our third website, which will be ym.lifeteen.com. It'll be a site for all the adults in youth ministry, whether it's priests or music ministers, youth ministers, DREs, catechists, parents, that have timely articles, resources, things like that on how to grow in your own faith, how to impart the faith to teenagers. Right now, currently on our website, we probably get almost 3 million page views a month right now.
Wow.
Teen website.
Unbelievable.
We have teens logging in across the world, and one of my greatest joys is to be able to say that on Sunday afternoons, when most places that utilize a Life Teen model are having a liturgy that's more inviting of teens on a Sunday evening, that our traffic on Sunday just drops into nothing. It's great.
Yes.
And that's what we're really encouraging. We don't want people on our site on Sunday. You know? We want them with their families. So that's a huge blessing. But through there, you can watch videos, you can listen to free podcasts, you can read, you can sort through hundreds of questions. I've answered probably about 300 questions on Scripture. You can listen to those. We're linked to your guys' site, to the KVSS site, on my Bible Geek page, to be able to listen to some of our past shows, which I know are archived on your site. We have a huge store with T-shirts, fun T-shirts, apparel, books, DVDs, things like that to help parents, help teens grow in their faith. And then we have our events team, and we put on national training conferences and regional training conferences for youth ministers and for core members and leaders. We offer, keynotes and breakouts, things like that. We also offer conferences specifically for teenagers. We team up with Steubenville and offer some summer conferences. We offer a week-long leadership conference at the University of Notre Dame every summer. We have all of our summer camps. We have what we call Inspiration Youth Rallies in the fall. We have core member universities in the fall. We have Life on the Roads in the spring when we come out and we have a huge concert at the parish. And then the next day we offer practical training to liturgical ministers and to music ministers and core members. And then we have our resource division, in which we basically bring together some of the finest Catholic minds around, and we basically are just dedicated to taking the richness of the faith in all of its fullness and all of its beauty, and finding postmodern ways to translate it into teenagers' language. So that's through videos, through podcasts, through webcasts, through written resources, audio CDs, contemporary praise and worship. In fact, right now I'm finishing off a new piece. I'm actually working on a new Bible study guide based on the different parts of the Mass, where we take all different prayers of Mass and we break those open into their own Bible studies.
Excellent.
And I'm also working on a new piece that basically teaches teens and parents and families how to pray the Lectio Divina together. So again, looking back to the sacred, but putting enough of a fresh spin on it that the contemporary teenager can start to really understand and embrace our faith in new ways.
Well, I wish you'd be a little more passionate about this.
Boy, I tell you what, there's an old Irish saying, Lord, give me work until my life is over and life until my work is done. You know, just can't wait.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think?
Yeah! Mark Hart and Life Team.
That's right, and I think in the entire time he was talking about that, I counted only one breath. So.
Oh, you're a funny guy, Bruce.
I'm sorry if I go too fast. I get so excited. Anybody who want more information, we actually have entire staff members and set aside to provide information to parents if they wanted to pass them on to pastors. We always encourage anybody, youth ministers, DREs, pastors, anybody can go on the website anytime. They can contact us. We have a 1-800 number. We have multiple people you can email. We have a whole position just called Startup Coordinator, and that position exists for people who maybe decide, they've looked at the materials, they want to try starting Life Teen, and instead of just sending you a box of goods, we actually have somebody who will get on the phone with you, will walk with you, pray with you, answer questions, you know, all that kind of thing. So we're not just a resource house.
Right.
We're a group of very like-minded, like-hearted lay ministers and religious who have all been called to serve the youth at this time in this way. And we exist to help support what dioceses are trying to do. We exist to help support bishops and pastors and lay ministers and what they're trying to do, and especially parents, to trying to help parents fulfill that role as primary catechists like we were talking about.
Well, God bless you all for your work. Wow.
And Mark, we just have to pass on just a personal little story aside of our association with Life Teen. Not only do we know the good folks at St. Elizabeth Ann's here in the Archdiocese of Omaha and that wonderful, vibrant community in Schuyler,
yeah,
Nebraska, but Bruce's sister and her husband, Joe, and they had two kids. And Joe and Becky were a part of Life Teen years ago at St. Tim's. And it became a part of the family, the community that was built, and the relationships, and just the enthusiasm for the faith, that it was just a tremendous witness, not only in the Gaylord's life, but also it spread to all the McGregors. I mean, it just was their enthusiasm for the faith. And unfortunately, about 8 years ago, Becky was killed in a horrible car accident. She was a rollover in an SUV. And her funeral, she was only, 19,
20 years old.
And it was her funeral at that time. We went back, and it was such a sad thing for the community. But that Life Teen community showed up for Becky's funeral, and they carried all of us. And that's a lot of McGregors to carry.
Turned into a celebration.
It turned into quite a celebration of Becky's faith and her belief in God. And it just goes to show what Life Teen, that community life-giving, helping to transmit Christ's love and those graces that come from that interaction. It to this day, I mean, we still look back on that.
It's left an indelible print on
it
all
has.
Of us. Yeah.
So, and I think that's the beauty of building up those teens. And her brother now is a strong Catholic male who is out in the
set his sights on getting to Notre Dame, and he made it.
Yep, and it's just foundational. So hats off to Life Teen.
Well, praise God. We really do. We exist to serve, and it's funny. We're not a franchise. We have no. Basically, we exist to train, to point people back to the church. We exist to provide people with resources to help them do a better job. Sometimes, we'll get a random email or a phone call. Hey, I was at this mass over here, and this, this musician played too loud, or this, priest did this, or this, and people will call us, and we're always having to, explain. Unfortunately, we're not a franchise. We have no control over, if someone chooses to do some random song, or if someone chooses, it's not, we're not Rome,
right.
And we don't want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we're existing to try and help people give and translate, communicate the fullness of the gospel and the Catholic faith in all of its entirety, with all reverence and all humility, and so it's one of those things where we always say to people, we'd love to hear how things are going out there. If there are people have concerns or questions, please feel free to call us and email us. And if there's anything we can do, to rectify those concerns, we'll do everything we can, kind of thing. But it's really funny when you're saying, like, unpacking Vatican II. We've met with different representatives in Rome over the course of the years with the Holy Fathers and with different cardinals. And at one point, we were really kind of down. The devil was really attacking us as an organization, as a movement. And we just said, we met with him. We said, it feels like we can't do anything right. We upset people on this side of the church. We upset people on that side of the church. A lot of people love us. A lot of people don't like us. And, what do we do? And it was so beautiful and so poignant. And the cardinal looked us in the eye, and he said, if you're not upsetting people on both sides, you're not proclaiming the gospel. And he said, and this is so beautiful. He says, don't ever blink at the piercing of his side, lest you will miss his glory. And that stuck with me. That it's so wise. It stuck with me for so long. Mm-hmm. And I think that in my youth, in my over exuberance at times, I've forgotten that a very necessary part of the gospel are going to be those attacks and going to be that suffering and that kind of a thing. So I hold fast to the idea that if they haven't made up a rule about you, you're probably not doing good youth ministry.
There you go. And always be prepared to embrace the cross.
And I don't
tell people around the parishes.
Yeah.
And I don't know a youth minister out there who, unfortunately, is underpaid and works 27 hours a day. I mean, they are working constantly, and they're doing it for the love of Jesus. They really are.
Mm-hmm. They really, really are. And very honestly, it's one of those overworked and underpaid positions a lot of the time too, and anything that anybody can do in the parishes, not only to give a word of affirmation or to give any kind of support to the youth ministers, but even, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm not a teen. I don't really have a desire to be a teen. I'm not comfortable around them. I don't have anything to give. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. Honest to God, don't ever underestimate how important, your presence can be, and it doesn't always have to be in a upfront leader kind of position. I've never met a youth minister who didn't have 20 things that they needed help with,
mm-hmm.
from unloading 600 hot dog buns from the back of a van to helping put together some permission slips, anything like that. Because, like you said, Chris, there's a lot of times the people who do in youth ministry also have other jobs or families, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing, and they're sacrificing a lot of time with their families to go do that. I've never seen a youth minister turn down a free dinner, offer to babysit, or anybody who is willing to help set up or tear down something. So no sacrifice is too small, and all of them are great in the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being with us again this week. Wow, got teenagers in your house. You have to feel encouraged after hearing Mark Hart today. We appreciate it, and we look forward to having you back next Monday.
Thanks for having me.